The Ring and the Book by Robert Browning. Book 7, Pompilia. Part 1. I am just 17 years and 5 months old, and if I lived one day more, 3 full weeks. 'Tis writ so in the church's register, Lorenzo in Lucina. All my names at length, so many names for one poor child. Francesca, Camilla, Vittoria, Angela, Pompilia, Comparini. Laughable. Also, 'tis writ that I was married there 4 years ago, and they will add, I hope, when they insert my death, a word or two, omitting all about the mode of death. This in its place, this which one cares to know, that I had been the mother of a son exactly 2 weeks. It will be through grace of the curate, not through any claim I have, because the boy was born at, so baptized, close to the villa, in the proper church. A pretty church, I say no word against, yet stranger-like. Well, this Lorenzo seems my own particular place, I always say. I used to wonder, when I stood scarce high as the bed here, what the marble lion meant, with half his body rushing from the wall, eating the figure of a prostrate man. To the right it is, of entry by the door. An ominous sign to one baptized like me, married, and to be buried there, I hope. And they should add, to have my life complete, he is a boy, and Gaetan by name. Gaetano, for a reason. If the friar, Don Celestine, will ask this grace for me of curate Ottoboni, he it was baptized me. He remembers my whole life, as I do his gray hair. All these few things I know are true. Will you remember them? Because time flies. The surgeon cared for me to count my wounds. 22 dagger wounds, 5 deadly. But I do not suffer much, or too much pain, and am to die tonight. Oh, how good God, that my babe was born, better than born, baptized and hid away before this happened, safe from being hurt. That had been sin God could not well forgive. He was too young to smile and save himself. When they took, 2 days after he was born, my babe away from me to be baptized and hidden a while, for fear his foe should find. The countrywoman, used to nursing babes, said, "Why take on so? Where is the great loss? These next 3 weeks he will but sleep and feed, only begin to smile at the month's end. He would not know you if you kept him here sooner than that. So, spend 3 merry weeks snug in the villa, getting strong and stout, and then I bring him back to be your own, and both of you may steal to, we know where." The month. There wants of it 2 weeks this day. Still, I half fancied when I heard the knock at the villa in the dusk, it might prove she, come to say, "Since he smiles before the time, why should I cheat you out of 1 good hour? Back I have brought him. Speak to him and judge." Now I shall never see him. What is worse, when he grows up and gets to be my age, he will seem hardly more than a great boy. And if he asks, "What was my mother like?" people may answer, "Like girls of 17. And how can he but think of this and that, Lucias, Marias, Sofias, who titter and blush when he regards them as such boys may do? Therefore, I wish someone were pleased to say I looked already old, though I was young. Do I not? Say, if you abide to speak, look nearer 20? No more like, at least, girls who look arch or redden when boys laugh, than the poor virgin that I used to know at our street corner in a lonely niche, the babe that sat upon her knees broke off. Thin, white, glazed clay. You pitied her the more. She, not the gay ones, always got my rose. How happy those are who know how to write. Such could write what their son should read in time, had they a whole day to live out like me. Also, my name is not a common name, Pompilia, and may help to keep apart a little the thing I am from what girls are. But then, how far away, how hard to find, will anything about me have become, even if the boy bethink himself and ask? No father that he ever knew at all, nor ever had. No, never had, I say. That is the truth. Nor any mother left, out of the little 2 weeks that she lived, fit for such memory as might assist. As good, too, as no family, no name, not even poor old Pietro's name, nor hers, poor kind, unwise Violante. Since it seems, they must not be my parents any more. That is why something put it in my head to call the boy Gaetano. No old name, for sorrow's sake. I looked up to the sky and took a new saint to begin anew. One who has only been made saint, how long? 25 years. So carefuller, perhaps, to guard a namesake than those old saints grow, tired out by this time. See my own 5 saints. On second thoughts, I hope he will regard the history of me as what someone dreamed, and get to disbelieve it himself at last, since to myself it dwindles fast to that sheer dreaming and impossibility. Just in 4 days, too. All the 17 years. Not once did a suspicion visit me. How very different a lot is mine from any other woman's in the world. The reason must be, 'twas by step and step it got to grow so terrible and strange. These strange woes stole on tiptoe, as it were, into my neighborhood and privacy, sat down where I sat, lay them where I lay, and I was found familiarized with fear. When friends broke in, held up a torch and cried, "Why, you Pompilia, in the cavern thus? How comes that arm of yours about a wolf? And the soft length lies in and out your feet and laps you round the knee. A snake it is!" And so on. Well, and they are right enough by the torch they hold up now. For first, observe, I never had a father, nor yet a mother. My own boy can say at least I had a mother whom I kept 2 weeks. Not I, who little used to doubt. I, good Pietro, kind Violante, gave me birth. They loved me always as I loved my babe. Nearly so, that is. Quite so, could not be. Did for me all I meant to do for him. Till one surprising day, 3 years ago, they both declared at Rome before some judge, in some court where the people flocked to hear, that really I had never been their child, was a mere castaway, the careless crime of an unknown man, the crime and care too much of a woman known too well. Little to these, therefore, of whom I was the flesh and blood. What then do Pietro and Violante, both no more my relatives than you or you? Nothing to them. You know what they declared. So with my husband. Just such a surprise, such a mistake in that relationship. Everyone says that husbands love their wives, guard them and guide them, give them happiness. 'Tis duty, law, pleasure, religion. Well, you see how much of this comes true in mine. People indeed would fain have somehow proved he was no husband, but he did not hear, or would not wait, and so has killed us all. Then there is... only let me name one more. There is the friend men will not ask about, but tell untruths of, and give nicknames to, and think my lover, most surprise of all. Do only hear, it is the priest they mean, Giuseppe Caponsacchi, a priest. Love, and love me. Well, yet people think he did. I am married. He has taken priestly vows. They know that, and yet go on, say the same. Yes, how he loves you. That was love, they say. When anything is answered that they ask, or else, no wonder you love him, they say. Then they shake heads, pity much, scarcely blame, as if we neither of us lacked excuse, and anyhow are punished to the full, and downright love atones for everything. Nay, I heard read out in the public court, before the judge, in presence of my friends, letters 'twas said the priest had sent to me, and other letters sent him by myself, we being lovers. Listen what this is like. When I was a mere child, my mother, that's Violante, you must let me call her so, nor waste time trying to unlearn the word. She brought a neighbor's child of my own age to play with me of rainy afternoons, and since there hung a tapestry on the wall, we two agreed to find each other out among the figures. Tisbe, that is you, with half-moon on your hair-knot, spear in hand, flying but no wings, only the great scarf blown to a bluish rainbow at your back. Call off your hound, and leave the stag alone. And there are you, Pompilia, such green leaves flourishing out of your five finger-ends, and all the rest of you are turned a sort of tree. Why is it you are turned a sort of tree? You know the figures never were ourselves, though we nicknamed them so. Thus, all my life, as well what was as what like this was not, looks old, fantastic, and impossible. I touch a fairy thing that fades and fades, even to my babe. I thought when he was born, something began for once that would not end, nor change into a laugh at me, but stay forevermore, eternally, quite mine. Well, so he is. But yet they bore him off the third day, lest my husband should lay traps and catch him, and by means of him catch me. Since they have saved him so, it was well done. Yet thence comes such confusion of what was with what will be, that late seems long ago, and what years should bring round already come, till even he withdraws into a dream as the rest do. I fancy him grown great, strong, stern, a tall young man who tutors me, frowns with the others.
Poor imprudent child! Why did you venture out of the safe street?
Why go so far from help to that lone house? Why open at the whisper and the knock? 6 days ago, when it was New Year's Day, we bent above the fire and talked of him, what he should do when he was grown and great. Violante, Pietro, each had given the arm I leant on to walk by, from couch to chair and fireside, laughed as I lay safe at last. Pompilia's march from bed to board is made. Pompilia back again, and with a babe, shall one day lend his arm and help her walk. Then we all wished each other more New Year's. Pietro began to scheme. Our cause is gained. The law is stronger than a wicked man. Let him henceforth go his way, leave us ours. We will avoid the city, tempt no more the greedy ones by feasting and parade. Live at the other villa, we know where, still farther off, and we can watch the babe grow fast in the grilled air, and wood is cheap and wine sincere outside the city gate. I still have two or three old friends will grope their way along the mere half-mile of road, with staff and lantern on a moonless night, when one needs talk. They'll find me, never fear, and I'll find them a flask of the old sort yet. Violante said, You chatter like a crow. Pompilia tires of the tattle and shall to bed. Do not too much the first day, somewhat more tomorrow, and the next begin the cape and hood and coat. I have spun wool enough. Oh, what a happy, friendly eve was that! And next day, about noon, out Pietro went. He was so happy, and would talk so much, until Violante pushed and laughed him forth, sightseeing in the cold. So much to see in the churches! Swathe your throat 3 times, she cried. And above all, beware the slippery ways, and bring us all the news by supper-time. He came back late, laid by cloak, staff, and hat, powdered so thick with snow it made us laugh, rolled a great log upon the ash of the hearth, and bade Violante treat us to a flask, because he had obeyed her faithfully. Gone sightsee through the 7, and found no church to his mind like San Giovanni. There's the fold, and all the sheep together, big as cats. And such a shepherd, half the size of life, starts up and hears the angel. When at the door, a tap. We started up. You know the rest. Pietro, at least, had done no harm, I know. Nor even Violante. So much harm as makes such revenge lawful. Certainly she erred, did wrong. How shall I dare say otherwise? In telling that first falsehood, buying me from my poor faulty mother at a price, to pass off upon Pietro as his child. If one should take my babe, give him a name, say he was not Gaetano and my own, but that some other woman made his mouth and hands and feet. How very false were that! No good could come of that. And all harm did. Yet if a stranger were to represent, Needs must you either give your babe to me, and let me call him mine forevermore, or let your husband get him. Oh, my God! That were a trial I refused to face. Well, just so here. It proved wrong, but seemed right to poor Violante. For there lay, she said, my poor real dying mother in her rags, who put me from her with the life and all, poverty, pain, shame, and disease, at once. To die the easier, by what price I fetched. Also, I hope, because I should be spared sorrow and sin. Why may not that have helped? My father? He was no one, anyone. The worse the likelier. Call him. He who came, was wicked for his pleasure, went his way, and left no trace to track by. There remained nothing but me, the unnecessary life, to catch up or let fall. And yet a thing she could make happy, be made happy with, this poor Violante. Who would frown thereat? Well, God, you see. God plants us where we grow. It is not that, because a bud is born at a wild briar's end, full in the wild beast's way, we ought to pluck and put it out of reach on the oak tree top. Say, there the bud belongs. She thought, moreover, real lies were lies told for harm's sake, whereas this had good at heart. Good for my mother, good for me, and good for Pietro, who was meant to love a babe, and needed one to make his life of use, receive his house and land when he should die. Wrong, wrong, and always wrong! How plainly wrong! For see, this fault kept pricking, as faults do, all the same at her heart. This falsehood hatched. She could not let it go, nor keep it fast. She told me so, the first time I was found locked in her arms once more after the pain, when the nuns let me leave them and go home, and both of us cried all the cares away. This it was set her on, to make amends. This brought about the marriage. Simply this. Do let me speak for her. You blame so much. When Paul, my husband's brother, found me out, heard there was wealth for who should marry me, so came and made a speech to ask my hand for Guido. She, instead of piercing straight through the pretense to the ignoble truth, fancied she saw God's very finger-point designate just the time for planting me, the wild briar-slip she plucked to love and wear, in soil where I could strike real root and grow, and get to be the thing I called myself. For wife and husband are one flesh, God says, and I, whose parents seemed such and were none, should in a husband have a husband now, find nothing this time but was what it seemed, all truth, and no confusion any more. I know she meant all good to me, all pain to herself. Since how could it be aught but pain to give me up so, from her very breast, the wilding flower tree branch that all those years she had got used to feel for and find fixed? She meant well. Has it been so ill in the main? That is but fair to ask. One cannot judge of what has been the ill or well of life the day that one is dying. Sorrows change into not altogether sorrow-like. I do see strangeness, but scarce misery. Now it is over, and no danger more. My child is safe. There seems not so much pain. It comes most like that I am just absolved, purged of the past, the foul in me washed fair. One cannot both have and not have, you know. Being right now, I am happy and color things. Yes, everybody that leaves life sees all softened and bettered. So with other sights. To me, at least, was never evening yet, but seemed far beautifuller than its day. For past is past. There was a fancy came, when somewhere, in the journey with my friend, we stepped into a hovel to get food, and there began a yelp here, a bark there, misunderstanding creatures that were wroth and vexed themselves and us till we retired. The hovel is life. No matter what dogs bit or cats scratched in the hovel I break from, all outside is lone field, moon, and such peace. Flowing in, filling up as with a sea, whereon comes someone, walks fast on the white. Jesus Christ's self, Don Celestine declares, to meet me and calm all things back again. Beside, up to my marriage, 13 years were each day happy as the day were long. This may have made the change too terrible. I know that when Violante told me first, the cavalier she meant to bring next morn, whom I must also let take, kiss my hand, would be at San Lorenzo the next eve, and marry me, which over we should go home, both of us, without him as before, and till she bade speak, I must hold my tongue, such being the correct way with girl brides, from whom one word would make a father blush. I know, I say, that when she told me this, well, I no more saw sense in what she said than a lamb does in people clipping wool. Only lay down and let myself be clipped. And when next day the cavalier who came, Tisbe, had told me that the slim young man, with wings at head and wings at feet and sword, threatening a monster in our tapestry, would eat a girl else, was a cavalier. When he proved Guido Franceschini, old, and nothing like so tall as I myself, hook-nosed and yellow in a bush of beard, much like a thing I saw on a boy's wrist he called an owl and used for catching birds. And when he took my hand and made a smile, why, the uncomfortableness of it all seemed hardly more important in the case than when one gives you, say, a coin to spend, its newness or its oldness, if the piece weigh properly and buy you what you wish. No matter whether you get grime or glare, men take the coin, return you grapes and figs. Here, marriage was the coin. A dirty piece would purchase me the praise of those I loved. About what else should I concern myself? So, hardly knowing what a husband meant, I supposed this or any man would serve, no whit the worse for being so uncouth. For I was ill once, and a doctor came, with a great ugly hat, no plume thereto, black jerkin, and black buckles, and black sword, and white sharp beard over the ruff in front, and oh, so lean, so sour-faced and austere, who felt my pulse, made me put out my tongue, then oped a phial, dripped a drop or two of a black bitter something. I was cured. What mattered the fierce beard or the grim face? It was the physic beautified the man. Master Malpici never met his match in Rome, they said. So ugly, all the same. End of part 1.